Jerome slaps the basketball, looking, peering, finds Guy in the left corner for three, and the win! Off the rim, no good! And the Tigers claw back, but wait! Was there a foul? Was there a foul in the corner? The clock is at zeros, but Auburn fouled the shooter!
Yes, they did. 81.8% foul shooter, to be exact, and that guy, Kyle Guy, hitting three free throws with 0.6 seconds remaining as Virginia comes from behind and rallies in the final seconds, knock off Auburn 63-62 to punch their ticket to the national championship game tonight as they will take on Texas Tech representing the Big 12. And that's all the talk all weekend long is that call by the official at the end of the game. Jared Harper, Auburn star point guard, talks about the foul call.
I would just say that I think it was a tough call, but that's not where we lost the game, I don't think.
And the call was so tough to take that even the coach of the winning team had to feel for the losing team.
I haven't seen the replay, but someone said they did get in his space and pushed him, but then to make the three free throws was terrific. You just keep playing. I said that after to Tracy on CBS. I said, these last two games, I said, oh, my. I do feel for Auburn, but I feel better for us right now, and I'm just thankful that, you know, these guys stepped up and played the way they needed to, and we got through, survive in advance. I guess that's taken on a new meaning.
So how did it sound when it all went down? Here was Kevin Kugler with the call.
Free throw is up. It is good. Virginia by one. 0.6 seconds to go. 63-62. Dangel Purifoy will inbound for Auburn. Purifoy holds the ball. 0.6 seconds left. Purifoy throws it in. Caught. Brown. Turnaround. No. And Virginia 63. Auburn 62.
So pretty exciting ending to the game, and as you can imagine, emotions a little bit different on both sides. First for Virginia, how about Kyle Guy? Three free throws in front of millions of people. He had to make two out of three to force overtime, make all three, in essence, win the game. Missed two out of three, they lose, and he's the GOAT. Instead, he's the hero. Here he is about his free throw shooting.
Yeah, these are moments that, you know, every basketball player has dreamed of, you know, hitting a game-winning shot or free throws or whatever. You know, I kind of had that feeling in your stomach, like a good nervousness, like, all right, this is my chance. And, you know, to be able to go to the national championship off of that for these guys and Coach Bennett, I mean, I really don't have the words.
Well, in any game, there's a winner and there's a loser. Bruce Pearl, head coach, Auburn, disappointed, of course.
We've got incredible character and heart and belief. These guys have overcome adversity all year long. They've been doubted all year long. And we're just disappointed that we're not going to get a chance to work tonight and tomorrow and have a chance to play for a championship.
Well, we talk about the wins and losses. We talk about success and failure. And we've talked about it for quite some time, especially throughout the tournament. It's razor thin. And there's no better example than what took place on Saturday in Minneapolis in the first Final Four game of the night. All I'll say, well, I've got a lot of things to say, but before we really get into it, I'll say that I think the call was right that they made, and we have preached on the show many times, why is it that you're supposed to swallow your whistle in the final 2 minutes when a foul is a foul any other time of the game? But at the same time, I have to say, when I was watching this game and I heard the whistle, I knew right away it was fouled. I heard the whistle through the TV, and I was like, oh, no. And I hate seeing games decided by whistles. I hate seeing games decided by controversy. I don't like it. I want the players to decide it. And so all these folks that are saying it's controversial at the end, to me it's not controversial. It's because you want it to be. Because it was a foul. By the letter of the rules, it's a foul. And to say that that's a horrible call, you're wrong. It was the right call. What we need to do is we need to rewind, and then everybody's focusing on a double dribble. Well, okay, first of all, I'll bet you 90% of America wouldn't even be talking about a double dribble if CBS didn't replay it and let everybody know it was a double dribble, because I missed it.
Nobody talked about it until after the foul and then after the replay.
Right, because CBS didn't even know. The announcers didn't know.
I didn't see it. I thought it was maybe tipped out. I didn't see it go off the back of his foot.
And, I did. I saw it live. It was pretty clear it went off his foot.
Well, yeah, but I didn't know if maybe the guy tipped it before.
To me, that was very clear. He didn't even come close to touching it.
Yeah.
It was very clear but that it was off his foot. But what I didn't catch was that he actually picked it up and dribbled again. Because if he just would have put his hand on top of the ball and bounced it, that's still a dribble. Yeah. Even though it went off his foot, he could still retain the dribble. But he actually picked it up and dribbled again without it touching the other player. But so this is so interesting, this whole conversation, because people want to see it the way they want to see it. And it's revisionist history. And I've gotten texts from a few people, and you know they act like they're the greatest officials ever, and they've never missed a call. And I'm like, wow, you know what? You would have missed that call too, more than likely.
Oh, yeah.
More than likely. And it's easy when you can rewind TV and go back. But listen, Charles Barkley said it, Clark Kellogg said it, Kenny Smith said it, Ernie Johnson said it, Jim Nance, Grant Hill, Bill Rafferty all missed it. I was watching it. I didn't catch it, that it was a double dribble. So if we all missed it, then of course I hear the, well, that's the official's job. How can you miss that call? Listen, they're human. They're human. And then I've had people say, well, now we're going to have all kinds of widespread new replays in college basketball. No, we're not.
No.
What are you talking about? I mean, what are you actually talking about? It's a human error. You made a mistake. You're going to go back and how would you possibly have more replays in that situation? You're going to have replays to review a double dribble that happened, you know, 5 seconds beforehand. I mean, you got a foul that was called right after that. It's so funny because Virginia is still alive because of the way two teams handled how to foul. Think about that. Mm. Purdue decided we're going to foul to where they can't shoot a three, and then they couldn't box out, and then they got beat on it because it went to overtime, last second shot to tie it. This game, Auburn had two fouls to burn. They fouled too quickly on the first one. As soon as it got inbound, they should have let him turn and dribbled up. And so that was a mistake. And I'm telling you, these are some of the best coaches in America, some of the greatest athletes in college basketball, and they still don't understand how to manage clock or that type of situation with fouls. And you can only work on it so much. I mean, because you got so many other things you want to work on in practice. And so that was kind of mistake number one, fouling too quickly on purpose in the backcourt. But then what so many people miss, so what they talk about is, well, yeah, okay, fine. So they called the foul at the end, and some people think, well, that shouldn't have been called. But then what they'll do, instead of admitting that the call was right, they immediately rewind the tape and they say, well, the double dribble. And then they focus on the official missing the double dribble. Do you know that if you actually rewind just a half a second sooner before the double dribble, that Bryce Brown was trying to foul on purpose and he grabbed Ty Jerome's jersey and jerked him? And that's what caused him to lose the dribble that went off his foot?
Mm-hmm.
So for all of you people out there that say, well, the biggest missed call was a double dribble, I disagree. They missed the foul that caused the double dribble. I mean, if you want to keep rewinding the tape over and over, let's go back even further. Jared Harper makes both free throws. The worst case scenario, this game goes to overtime.
Yeah.
He missed the second free throw, and he's an outstanding foul shooter. And I don't want to put it all on him, but listen, the officials were focused on, for the most part, they were focused on Auburn, I'm sure, Bruce Pearl, and I saw it. I was watching the broadcast, and Jim Nance, Grant Hill, and Bill Rafferty missed it initially. And I was watching when McLemore went to the foul line. Was it McLemore that went to the foul line when he hit the two to make it a four-point game? I think it was.
Yeah.
But anyway, I saw Bruce Pearl, like, foul. I saw him hitting his arm. Foul. I want a foul. I want a foul. I want a foul. And what happened was, actually, it was Harper who was shooting free throws when he said that, because Harper, even if it was 62-60, because he missed the second free throw, but he did it before the first foul and the second foul, because even if you're up one or two or three, you want to use your fouls to milk the final 5-6 seconds off the clock to where Virginia never gets any kind of any shooting position or offensive set they can set up. It's actually not bad coaching. It's the right thing to do, but the players have to execute and the officials have to blow their whistle when you're trying to commit a foul. And I guarantee you, Bruce Pearl told the one official, listen, and he can't tell every official because there was no timeout, but he can tell the one official there on the sideline in front of his bench, listen, we got fouls to burn. We're going to use them. And then the officials are aware of that. So what happened was, I think initially the officials were looking for the foul right away, which they called it the first one. So now there's 5.4 to go, but it was way back in the backcourt. So then Jerome catches again, and he's near half court, just shy of half court, and Brown fouls him again, which was probably the right thing to do as well. But this time, the official was on the near side, was blocked, I think, to see the pull of the jersey and the pull and the jerk, mm-hmm. whereas the official on the other side should have seen it. Okay? And so then people give grief to the officials for missing a double dribble when, in all actuality, all of you are wrong. They missed a foul that led to him being jerked, and then he lost the ball off his foot. You think he's that horribly uncoordinated that he can't dribble the ball behind his back, up the behind the back, up the floor? He's done a million times, Ty Jerome. Mm. He was fouled, and they missed that. So you want to sit here and go, well, they shouldn't have blown the whistle in the very final one, and that's a bad call. I disagree. It was the right call, okay? It was the right call. Then you want to go back and you want to blame on a double dribble? Yep, they missed that call. But actually, they missed a call before that. So had that foul been called properly and there was no double dribble called, obviously, because there would have been a foul first, Virginia would have had about 3 seconds to do something. How do we know they wouldn't have scored anyway? How do we know they wouldn't have got fouled on a three-point shot? We'll never know because everybody's focused on, well, the double dribble, that's the ball game. Turnover, Auburn gets the ball. Well, if you're going to rewind so far, you have to rewind through the whole play. Mm. And people are convenient when they want to make their argument because they want to cheer for Auburn, want to cheer for Virginia. You wear the rose-colored glasses. And it's so funny that you focus on one missed call in the final seconds, but how many missed calls were there earlier in the game? There were plenty. There are plenty of missed calls. There are plenty of missed free throws. There are plenty of missed shots, bad shots, not boxing out, maybe coaches' mismanagement of the clock. I mean, it happens every game.
Oh, yeah.
But when Kyle Guy hit that three from the corner to cut it to one, I was like, uh-oh. Because that was a prayer, in a way, and he made it. And I thought he might have got fouled on that play. So then the same guy that was guarding him, Doherty, I think it was, or Daughtry, however you pronounce it, he then ended up coming out at Kyle Guy on that three on the out-of-bounds play in the final seconds, and he did foul him. But here's the question I have. And I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. And I've mentioned this over and over and over on this show. Well, at least a few times I have. I have never understood how a guy takes a three-point shot. The ball leaves his hands. Okay? The ball leaves his hands. And it's clearly out of his hand. And a guy, how many times do you see it, turns to go box him out, a little too aggressive with a box out, and knocks him down. And they give him 3 free throws. I've told you this before in this show. That should not be 3 free throws. Mm-hmm. That should be 2. It's after the shot. It didn't affect the shot. He didn't make contact. He didn't make contact while the ball was in his hand. And if you watch the replay, it's fairly close. And you know Guy knows the guy's coming at him. But if you stop it and pause it, that ball is out of Kyle Guy's hands before he gets hit with the lower leg. Now, it alters his shot, but he could, you know, if Doherty ends up flying by Guy, that's not a foul. It's still going to alter the shot, and doesn't mean it's a foul. So I still don't like that rule because it's like, well, you're behind the three-point line. Anytime you get fouled behind the three-point line, as long as you threw up some kind of shot, it's automatically 3 free throws. To me, when the shot's already gone and out of your hand, and then you foul the guy, that's 2. That's 2 free throws. Now, if you foul him and you hack him on the arm as he's shooting the ball and it's still in his fingertips or his hand, to me, that's obviously 3 free throws. Mm-hmm. So to me, nobody's talking about that. I saw one person, which is Doug Gottlieb, who I didn't like what he said last week. We talked about it. But I think he says they should have swallowed the whistle and they shouldn't have called that because that was the way the game was called all game long. They let him play. He might have an argument, but still, it's like, what rule is written that says you must keep that every second of the game? I think if a rule is a rule and it's broken, you need to enforce it. That's why the officials are there. So I don't agree with him on that point, although I get where he's coming from. But I do understand what he's saying when he says that should have been 2 shots. I agree. I think that is something that needs to be changed in the rules. You can go back to replay anyway. So if the ball's clearly out of his hands and then he gets run into, that didn't affect his shot. It didn't affect his shot. He already let the shot go.
Yeah.
He's affected by seeing a guy running at him. Well, there's no foul for jumping at a guy mm-hmm. until he actually makes contact. Mm-hmm. To me, that's 2 shots. Okay. But based on the rules, it was done the right way because the rules always say that's 3. But what I'm telling you is that rule's wrong. Because you think about it. If you have a situation where a guy shoots a shot from the foul line, okay, he glides in and shoots it, and how many times they say a foul's on the floor so the shot doesn't count? Well, why is it any different after the fact?
I'm going to just, for fun, play devil's advocate on the other side of this. Like, if you're going up with a shot, mm-hmm. right, and mm-hmm. you get fouled, but you haven't let the ball go yet.
Right.
Should that not be two shots if you're going up with it, but they get a hand on it and a hand
if
on
you're it. In a, if you're in your shooting motion and have not shot it, that is in the act of shooting. That's a foul.
Yeah. Okay, so right. let me play devil's advocate on the other side of this, because okay. shooting motion is everything about the shot, right? So you go up, and if you're a jump shooter, your shooting motion is going up and coming down, right? That's your whole shot is going up and then landing on the floor if you're a jump shooter. So I think the reason that that's three shots is because he hasn't come back down from his shooting motion yet.
When he comes back down, it doesn't affect the shot.
No, it doesn't. And that's
my point.
And the ball's already gone. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to count shooting motion before the shot, you should count the full shooting motion after the shot too.
It's not a shooting motion. See, I don't agree with
motion,
you.
On a jump shot, your shooting motion is going up and then coming down.
But your motion. So you're saying when you come down.
Your shooting motion going up, you haven't shot the ball yet.
So let me ask you a question. If you pump fake the ball, okay, you jump and you put the ball down on a dribble, okay, and then you catch it to go up and he fouls you, but you haven't even gone up yet, but you jumped and came back down and he undercut you, that's three shots on a three-point shot?
Not if you haven't shot yet.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He already shot it. He already shot the ball. The ball is out of his hands. The shot's already gone.
Yeah.
How can that be your shooting motion when the ball is not even in your hands? Once the ball is out of your hands, the shooting motion's gone, as far as I'm concerned. It's gone.
Yeah, I get it's where gone. You're coming from, but I think the shooting motion is well, everything
wait,
about
a minute,
jump
wait a minute.
Shot.
What if a guy shoots the ball, he jumps so high that the ball's halfway to the rim, and he comes down and the guy slides underneath him. That's three shots?
I think if you're not down from your jump shot yet, if you're a jump shooter. Now, if you're just standing flat on your feet and shoot the shot, then you're already down. You're shooting motion. That's not part of your motion. But I think if you're going up with a shot and you haven't put it up yet, that's part of your shooting motion. The ball hasn't left your hand yet. So why do you get two, three free throws there?
When you're like this, I can't do it on radio because people can't see it.
Yeah.
If you're right here and you're going right here, you're going up to shoot the shot.
Yeah.
That's the basic fundamentals of basketball 101, all right?
So
you go up like this.
I'm not disagreeing.
And you get hacked across the arm as you're shooting the ball.
Yeah.
Obviously,
100% agree
you
that
are.
Should be a foul, but I think it's all part of your shooting motion. Now, if I've taken a three, right, because I've seen this happen in high school sports where a kid takes a three, lands, and then the box out happens, and then they give him three shots, that's definitely not right because he's already come down from his entire shot, and it's over. There's no shot involved anymore. That's a box out. And it's a common foul. But I understand why they let that go on a jump shooter that's in midair that didn't have any room to land, because that's all part of his shooting motion, if you're asking me. I mean, I think it is. Because
mm-hmm.
I think if you're a jump shooter, your motion is all of it. You got to finish the whole thing. I agree it doesn't alter his shot. I 100% agree with what you're saying there. But I don't think his shooting motion's over until he lands.
I disagree. I just disagree.
My feeling is,
once the ball's left your hand, the shot is gone. Everything's over. Once that ball's left your hand, the shot's already gone.
Yeah. And I don't care if this isn't going to change, because I think that's what they think.
Right.
That's all part of shooting motion.
They can think all they want. I don't agree with it. Yeah. I said it from the very beginning. I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
I'm consistent in my argument. I don't agree with it.
But I think, and I think I understand why they do that, though. Because I really think the full shot is everything involved in it. And I know that.
So if I'm shooting a 3-point shot and a guy's flying out at me, he's altering my shot because I see him out of the corner of my eye. So then I jump 1 foot over in my shooting motion as I come down, because I'm trying to avoid the guy from landing on me. That altered my motion. That's my shooting motion, right? I wasn't allowed to land in the spot I want to land in. Is that a foul?
Not if he didn't foul you.
No, he didn't contact me? Well, I'm just saying, this is all... The
ball
is out of your hand.
In the middle of your shooting
the
motion.
The ball is out of your hand.
Yeah.
Okay? I just don't see how that's a foul. In regards to three shots.
I agree on a lot of the box-out things
that you're
talking about.
Let me revise that. I think it's a foul. I've said all along it's a foul.
Well, yeah, it's a foul.
It's the right call. What I'm saying is, why isn't it two shots instead of three?
Yeah.
The ball's clearly out of his hand before he gets run into. Okay, and it's not like he wiped him out from undercut him.
No.
I mean, he bumped him. It was a foul. I will not disagree. It was a foul. But I don't think three free throws should be awarded on that play. And I'm not saying they got it wrong, because that's the letter of the rules. I don't agree with the rule. And I've said this before. I'm being consistent with my argument. I have never understood, when the ball's already left your hands and you weren't hit on the arm or the wrist as you're shooting the ball, Now, listen, if you take out the guy's legs as he's shooting the ball, yeah, that's three shots, two shots, wherever it takes place. But when the ball's already out of your hands, to me, it's just like common sense in life. All right? Once you've walked out the door and handed in that resignation, it's gone. It's over. Okay? Well, wait a minute. I was in the motion of handing in my resignation. It's not official till I get in my car and start it. What the hell is that? I mean, come on. This... Are you kidding me? To me, does it affect the shot? No. The ball already was out of his hands. I don't care if he falls on his caboose. I don't care if he rolls over in pain. It didn't affect. It's not three shots. It was a foul. And if they're in the bonus, then it's whatever. It's one and one, two shots, whatever you want to call it. But that is not three shots if the ball's already out of his hands. I might be in the minority on this, and I shot a lot of three-pointers when I was in school. And I never understood it then.
Yeah.
I still don't understand.
Well, I can see what
the ball's
don't
already
sure,
gone. Yeah. Once the ball's out of your hand, it's gone. Then, to me, if the guy runs into him after the fact, then it depends on the foul situation. It's a one-on-one, two-shot foul, but it's not actually on the shot. I don't. Once the ball's out of your hands, to me, everything is over after that. And then it's just a matter of it ran into you, fine. I'm not saying it's not a foul, but I'm just saying you don't reward three free throws if the shot's already out of his hands. Now, if the ball's in his hands or even on his fingertips, any kind of possession whatsoever where it's touching his body in that situation, then I agree, three free throws. But I don't there because I hate to see the way a game ended. I see too many times where they
get three free throws.
When they should.
When they're boxing out, they've already landed after their shot.
Right, yeah.
And that's insane to me.
Those things,
when he's still in the air, I mean, I can, it's a lot easier.
But I could play devil's advocate to your devil's advocate and say the officials are saying, listen, he's not able to come down in the exact spot. He came down, but he had to back up and squeeze his buttocks and squeak backwards because the guy was putting his butt into him. They could argue and play devil's advocate to what you're just saying.
Well, yeah, but he came down in a different spot because he got fouled.
No, yeah, but you're saying that he shouldn't be getting three free throws, right?
I'm saying he should be, yeah.
When a guy boxes out after the shot's gone?
No, not on
a box out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Devil's advocate there, the official can say the same thing. Well, he didn't land in the spot he normally would land in because of the aggressive box out, thus it's three free throws. He can argue your point.
Yeah, what I'm saying is when you're already down and then they box you out. I've seen that get...
What I'm saying is the official can still say that because he landed in a spot that I don't think he would have landed in because of the aggressive box out.
Yeah.
So thus, you can play and make that rule a gray area.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a gray. Right. I think that kind of call is always a little bit of a gray area.
Yeah, but well, of course, every call for the most part is a gray area.
Listen, I think one thing that's getting lost in all that, though, is I know that people don't like to see the game in on a foul like that.
I don't, but you did talk about,
you know, you want to see the players decide it. The players decided it. Yeah. He had to go up and nail three free throws to win that game.
Jared Harper
couldn't do it. Agumba Wale couldn't do it yesterday for Notre Dame. She needed two to tie the championship game. In the women's game, exactly. Right. In the women's championship, she needed two, only made one. Right. Didn't want to make the second one. We've seen that happen, too. They don't want to make the second one, and then they make it.
Right.
And we saw that happen in the men's tournament this year. If it was Duke, if I remember right. And, I didn't want to see it end like that. But the bottom line is players still decided it because he had to go down up there and nail three free throws, and he was confident in – didn't even come close to missing any of them.
Right.
And so he still decided the game.
Right.
You know, he went up and did the thing he had to do to decide it. But I agree with you. That's not the way I wanted to see the game end.
Right. Okay, people listening aren't listening very carefully because your relation, Parker, is not listening very carefully. All right? I know the rule. I don't agree with
it. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, Parker?
I'm playing
Parker,
devil's advocate.
Parker, I don't like
the
rule. I know why the rule's there. I understand the rule. I've made it pretty clear. I don't agree with it. I never have agreed with
it. Exactly,
It doesn't mean I'm wrong or right. I'm not saying that the rule is applied wrong, because based on the written rule, I know what the freaking rule is, okay? I don't like it. I don't agree with the rule, okay? That's the point I'm making. Though it's a safety concern. Yeah, I know that's there. Well, you can still reward the guy two free throws. What, you're going to stop blocking shots and landing on them because it rewarded two or three free throws?
Yeah.
There's no that makes no difference. It's a safety concern. The shooter's got to land somewhere. Yeah, I get all that. Give him two free throws instead of three. He's still rewarded. I just don't like it. I don't like when the ball's already out of your hand, To me, everything is null and void in regards to the foul was on the shot when the ball is already out of your hands. If it's in your hands, fine. I get all that. All right? You do a pump fake and you jump up and the ball is in your hands getting ready to shoot it, and you're in the upward motion to shoot, the ball's getting ready to leave your hand, yeah, that's a shooting motion. To me, the shooting motion is not after the ball's out of your hand, because you've already helped me with this. When the ball's out of your hand, what have you just done?
You've shot the ball.
And there's exactly my premise for my argument. As soon as the ball's left your hand, you have shot it. You have shot it. It doesn't matter if you want to run around, do a dance afterwards, and say that's extended motion or safety concerns. I don't care what the rule is per se. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't agree with it. And I think so many times the players are awarded 3 free throws when it should be 2. So I agree with Doug Gottlieb on that. I totally do agree with that. So I'm not saying the official got it wrong. I'm not saying the rule is wrong. I'm gonna make myself clear, because apparently I'm not. Okay? Listen carefully. I'm not saying the rule is wrong. I'm not saying it was enforced the wrong way. I'm saying is I don't agree with the rule, and I think it should have been 2 free throws if you're basing it on a real shot. Okay? And all this extended motion, I'm like, well, where does the motion end? Okay, where does the motion end? When he lands with 1 foot or 2 feet? What if he slips and falls? Does the motion end when he falls on his butt? What's the official landing? You know what I'm saying? Because you got to have a right to land, right? Okay. Yeah. So how many times do you see a guy kick out his leg, gets brushed, and it's called a foul, and it's 3 free throws? And the ball's already left his hand. He's already landed and stuck out his foot, or as he's coming down, he still lands on 1 foot. The other foot's up in the air so he can get a call, and they give him 3 free throws. Do people agree with that? Because I don't.
No.
You already landed.
Technically, that's supposed to be an offensive foul now.
It should be.
But because if there's contact on a kickout, they're supposed to call that an offense. I don't know if that's at all levels or not, but
right.
They are supposed to call that an offensive foul now if you make contact. There should be a defensive foul on that. You know, Reggie Miller was famous for that, obviously.
Absolutely.
But
see, he's already landed, so there shouldn't even be a call. It shouldn't be 3 shots for sure.
Yeah.
Because one leg is already landed. As he puts out the other, many times the other foot's just landed almost simultaneously when he sticks out the other foot. If he's willing to try to land on 1 foot, why is he rewarded? Shouldn't you be required to land with 2 feet? Because that's part of the shooting motion, as I've been told. I just think it's a gray area, and I'm not, and once again, I just wish, and obviously in that situation, I wish it was 2 shots. Because I don't like games being decided like that. I don't mind the call being made. I don't mind that they enforced it the right way. That's all good and dandy. But I don't like games decided that way. I just don't. And I know that Harper could have made a free throw and that would have changed things. I know the official could have called a double dribble. He also could have called a foul before that. But I just do not like to see a game, especially of that magnitude, decided on a call, whether it's a missed call or a made call. And, you know, some people are comparing this Final Four game to the Super Bowl, but the egregious missed call in an NFC Championship game between the Saints and the Rams. Okay, well, there's 2 calls that were missed on that play, okay, and people keep missing that point. It wasn't just the pass interference. It was a helmet-to-helmet hit, okay, speaking of safety, and they missed both, okay? But also what people don't talk about in that game is that there was a missed call on the previous drive by the Rams that forced them to settle for a field goal instead of a touchdown because of a missed call by the officials. That was pretty clear. But everybody remembers the last thing.
Yeah.
You always remember the last thing. So we remember the last thing. And what's so funny is I hear these people like, oh, yeah, I knew the double dribble. You know, really, I wish I sat next to you watching the game. And maybe you did.
I saw one person out of, like, a lot of people that were talking about the game that actually said, oh, so we're just going to ignore the double dribble.
Yeah, but did they know, did they see that? Did they post that before CBS came back with the replay?
Was.
Okay.
It was, yeah.
So, okay, so somebody.
That was one person.
One person.
Like I said.
But that's, I mean, I'll bet you 80 to 90% of America didn't catch that double dribble. Because we're all caught up in, he's going to try to foul.
Well,
he's going to make a move to try
too,
to shoot.
So I don't even remember what happened before.
I was looking for the foul.
Did he tip the ball? Did he not?
Yeah.
Did he foul before that? You know, I was looking for the foul, and I felt that he did foul before the behind-the-back dribble.
Yeah, but
so
they didn't
call
that.
I wasn't really paying much attention to what happened in the moments leading up to when he took the ball behind his back and it went off his foot.
Right.
So that's why, you know, I'm not real – and that's why I said I didn't catch it live, because I wasn't – that's not what I was looking for. I was looking for a foul.
Right.
You know, how many officials are doing the same thing that we're just talking about? It's human nature.
Right.
If they say, hey, if you see the coach say, hey, we want a foul,
right,
well, that's what you're looking for. You're not looking for a guy to throw the ball off the back of his leg, and then you look at it and say, oh, he picked that up
he
with two hands. He can't dribble that.
It's not a normal play.
If he just picks it up, he can dribble it. But if you drive it with two hands, yeah, that's a double dribble.
It's not a normal play either.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's not something you see in the situation where the guy off his foot. There was another game in the tournament. There was another missed call. Nobody even talked about it. I can't remember what game it was, where they got a turnover, but the guy kicked the ball. And they totally missed the call. Mm-hmm. It was kicked. It was supposed to be automatically a reset. And they totally missed it. And nobody even talked about it. The announcers didn't talk about it. So, you know, we all miss something when we're watching the game. And that's why I'm not like some of these people across the country that just want to blast the official for making the call or that he missed the double dribble mm-hmm. call. And no, they're not going to change all the rules of college basketball. And
that is
they're not going to do replays. Nothing's going to change there. I mean, that's overreaction.
That happens a play like that happens once in every probably 300 basketball games.
That's human nature. You miss a lane violation. Here's another rule that's not being enforced, and I see it all the time. And it happened in the Virginia game against Purdue, where the first free throw that Ty Jerome made to cut it to two, he stepped across the line well before the ball hit the rim. That's mm-hmm. a violation. The free throw shouldn't have counted. But officials don't even call that anymore. That's a rule. Mm-hmm. That is a rule on the books, and it's not called. Now, imagine if that was called. Virginia wouldn't even made the Final Four. Because the second free throw, he stayed behind the line. He missed it. They tapped it out. Then Virginia would have needed a three-pointer instead of a two. The officials miss that all the time. NBA don't even call it. It's so god-awful in NBA. It's ridiculous. Oh. But college, it should be enforced. And I don't see it enforced very much. Every once in a while, it will be. That's a missed call by the officials. Let's go back and watch every single free throw of the Virginia-Auburn game and see how many people committed a violation when they stepped
there's
over. I'll bet you there's more than you think. Now let's go ahead.
Line going over.
Oh, absolutely.
There's lane line.
Oh, there's and tons of lane violations.
And sometimes they miss the shot. They don't call it.
They don't call it.
You know, a lot of times they'll wait until the shot, if it goes in, and then they won't worry about it.
Right.
But if they miss it, then you're like, wait, that was a lane violation. How did they not call that?
Right. Exactly. So there's all kinds of calls missed in games. So, and then this is the biggest stage. The Saints-Rams game, how officials right there misses both the pass interference and the helmet-to-helmet, that one's hard for me to figure out. Comparing that to this double dribble, which was a freak, weird play, I just don't think it's fair to the officials at the Final Four to be just lambasting them for missing a double dribble or being critical of a guy that actually called it right on the basis of a rule that I don't agree with how it's applied, okay, but it's still the right call. It's still a rule. They've enforced it. And I've said this, you've said this, we've talked about it many times. Why is a foul until the final 2 minutes, and then suddenly you're supposed to swallow your whistles? I mean, if that's the way we're supposed to play the game, then why don't the officials go ahead and take a siesta with 2 minutes to go in the game? Just hit the lockers, get a drink, and call it a night. Because that's how some people feel. Like, you just let everything, call your own the rest of the way. No, every single second of a game.
He's not bleeding in the last 2 minutes. It's not a foul.
It's just ridiculous. I mean,
you can't get up off the floor. It's not a foul.
I saw some people putting in their unwritten rule. I'm like, what is this, baseball?
Yeah.
Don't give me this unwritten rule. If it's
there
not written.
There are no unwritten rules
in basketball. I'm sorry. If it's not written, it's not a rule. Same with baseball. I get so sick of baseball. Well, it's an unwritten rule. You don't bunt for a hit when a guy's throwing a no-hitter. Why the heck not? You obviously can't hit the guy. He's got a no-hitter.
Yeah.
So whatever you got
to
do.
What do I owe to that guy? He's no-hit me.
Why
this
do I?
Game.
He's the opponent.
My goal is to get on base.
It's his job to field my bunt and then throw me out.
Yeah.
So I don't care if it's 10. I don't care if the game's 20 to nothing. The guy's got a no-hitter. If I have a chance to break it up and avoid my team from being no-hit, because that's not something you want to be known in history as, hey, we were the victim of this guy's no-hitter, I'll bunt. You might call it Bush League all you want. It's within the rules. Oh, wait a minute now. That's an unwritten rule. If it isn't written, it's not a rule. How many people get thrown into jail for laws that aren't on the books? Can somebody help me with that?
Hopefully not.
Well, you've been thrown into jail for a law that's a law, but it's not written, Wade. Did not know that. I don't think that'll stand up in court, Mr. Sir. I just don't think it will. You need something in writing. So I don't understand that whole unwritten thing. Well, it's unwritten rule. And this is what a lot of people were saying. Well, that's just unwritten rule. You don't call a foul in that situation. Oh, so the guy can go ahead and just decapitate him and it's not a foul?
Yeah.
You're supposed to swallow your whistle no matter what? Well, if it's really, really bad. Well, wait a minute. Now we're suddenly making a whole judgment call. And that's not a judgment call. in that situation, that was the right call. It was a foul. And by the way, somebody texted me like, Wade, you're 100% wrong or 100% right. No, I'm not right or wrong. I'm not right or wrong. And I'm not saying Dusty's wrong or right. It's my opinion
exactly.
that when the ball goes out, I've played basketball many times in my life.
That's why I brought my side of it up, because it's opinion based.
Right.
That's what we're here for, folks.
That's what this show's about.
Like, if you don't understand what we're saying, then we can't help you. But, you know, I have my opinion
yes.
about it. I think he should have got three on that situation.
Right.
There are a lot of situations where I don't think they should get three.
Right.
But you don't feel he should have, because the ball's out of his hands.
And I didn't lose sleep
over
it.
I'm not going to be mad at you because that's
no.
what you think.
Well, no, and I'm not mad at you for bringing it up, because I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I've never said...
And I get what you're saying.
I'm not saying you're wrong in what you're saying at all. I'm not. I just don't agree with the rule that is in place, as that is part of your shooting motion, because I don't know. When I was taught how to shoot baskets way back in the day, nobody told me I had to land a certain way.
No.
So, you know what the focus was? The focus was bend your wrist and your elbow, keep it in, follow through. Now, free throws, it's based on your stance, not how you land, because if you're jump shooting on free throws, that's a bad sign, okay?
Yeah.
You need to hit the weight room probably. But, I mean, that there was never anything when I was taught how to shoot. Well, you gotta land in a certain position. No, listen, I've seen guys that fade away and shoot.
What if you try to figure out what Marco Bellinelli's shooting motion
was? Oh, my Lord. Well, how about Matt Mooney for Texas Tech? I mean, that guy's landing all kinds of weird spots, fading away, falling away, going sideways. I mean, some of the greatest players ever. I mean, look at Michael Jordan's fadeaway. That's not how you land after you shoot a shot, falling away from the basket. So, you notice, I don't think they said, Michael, this is how you shoot it, and then you have to land fading away. No, he just learned how to do that, and he did it. What happens if Jordan throws up a fadeaway, and he steps back, and he steps on somebody's foot, and he turns his ankle? Is that in the shooting motion? Is that a foul? There was contact.
Initiated by offense. That's a foul on Mike.
Oh, is it? Well, the defender had his foot there. You know, once again, could be a gray area. He probably got a call like that at some point in time, which was probably Bush League.
The big difference in a fadeaway, though, is you're not that far up off the ground, so you land a lot quicker.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so
true.
A lot of his fadeaways, he barely even got off the ground.
That's true. He did, but not a lot.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
But that still would
but
be...
But I get what
that
you're
would
saying. It's still a different spot that you land.
That would constitute a shooting motion, though, as what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so... I think you get my point, is that never, maybe other people have been taught this way, but
no,
the years,
when you
never
shoot,
taught,
nobody tells you where you're supposed to land.
The coaches don't tell you. You got to land straight down.
Nature, you land wherever you land.
Right.
If you shoot.
Yeah. If you're leaning in for a jump shot, you know, you might lean forward and land with your foot forward. You might fade away. It depends on what the defender's doing to you. You might glide to your right because the guy's trying to block it, and you glide to your right, and you land on your right, you know, right big toe. I mean, there's nothing that I know of that teaches you, okay, this is the proper shooting motion landing.
Yeah.
And thus is my point. I mean, it's not part, to me, that's not part of the shot. Once you've shot the ball, it's all over. This is my opinion.
The only thing you want to make sure you do is when you land, is land on your feet.
Yeah, you don't want to turn
flat.
Your ankle.
You don't land on the side of your foot.
Yeah, and that happens. Happens a lot.
Yeah, and nobody does it on purpose, but.
Yeah, if you turn your ankle when you come down after a shot, the foul's on the floor, literally. The foul is on the floor.
On the floor.
And you get three free throws.
The floor is ejected.
Yeah, and you get three free throws and you throw them out.
Playing with water from now on.
So, listen, the whole discussion, it's not, once again, we're not arguing the rule wasn't enforced the right way.
It was applied the right way.
We're not arguing the official should or should not have called the foul. I think he should have, because it's a foul. I agree it's a foul. I just think the way that it's applied... and I've said this for a while, I just don't agree with the way the rule is made to award a guy three free throws after the ball has left his hand. That's my whole point. That's my opinion. You may not agree with it. Doesn't mean you're right. Doesn't mean you're wrong. Doesn't mean I'm right. Doesn't mean I'm wrong. It's the way I feel, and I've felt this way for a very long time, and now it happened in a very prominent situation, and here's a great example for me to bring it up again. And maybe some people agree with me. Some people may not. But I'm not wrong, and I'm not right. Let me stress that. I'm not wrong, I'm not right. It's all opinion. That's all opinion. If you think the shooting motion involves landing on your feet, then fine. You are entitled to that opinion. I will disagree with you till I die. Okay? I will. And I'm not going to be right. I'm not going to be wrong. It's all opinion. There is no... I always love when people tell people that their opinion is wrong. That's not even possible, because if it's an opinion... Okay, now if you're trying to prevent something like 2 + 2 = 5, and I know it is, well, you're an idiot. because that's not an opinion. That's fake news is what that is. Okay, so having said all that, I still think it's a bummer in regards to the way the game ends like that. I think it's a bummer to Auburn. But having said all that, you know, I think Auburn, for the most part, handled things pretty well after the game. Bruce Pearl, I'm sure, was biting his tongue a lot.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm Bruce Pearl, I'm upset. I'm probably thinking the same way a lot of people. You let them play most of the game, and the fact that you let us play, I only had 14 fouls, and now you call that. Because I'll be honest, I saw this on Twitter and social media, and I think it's a valid point. Although, every call is different. Every play is different. But there were three-point shots that were taken in the game that where there was more contact than the one at the end of the game. There was probably, I don't have to go back. They never replayed the play. I didn't see it. But I think there might have been more contact against Guy on his first three-pointer that he made. It could have been a four-point play than the one that he missed and got three free throws. You know, I think Bryce Brown, there was one time where he got his legs taken out from under him. They didn't call a foul. So if I'm an Auburn fan and I bring that up, it's a fair argument because I'm like, listen, they didn't consistently call that. Every single time a guy takes his legs out, they didn't call it. But that's the way every rule is. Why do you call one lane violation, but you don't on the other end? That's called human nature. That's called sports. It's called you've got the human element involved, whether it's players, coaches, and officials. And whether we like it or not, right or wrong, it's just the way it is. Until you get robots and get everything 100,000% right, you're going to have these problems. In every single sporting event, it's going to continue to happen. It's just part of sports. It's part of the game. Missed calls happen. And sometimes it goes against your team and you're screaming bloody murder and you'd be mad about how the rules applied. You don't agree with the rule like I did or whatever. I'm not even an Auburn fan. I don't care. I just didn't like the way the game ended. And I'm not saying it was wrong. I just don't like it that way. I want to see a shot like Villanova beating Carolina with a buzzer beater three. Mm-hmm. That's how I want to see Kyle Guy shoot the three right there at the end and make it to win the game. I'm cool with that. But I'm not, oh, goodness. I was like, what a bad way to end the game, even though it was the right call. Did you enjoy that ending? Because I didn't. It was so bittersweet. I didn't have a dog in the race.
Yeah, I'm not as disappointed, I can tell, as you are about the way the game ended. Because I really believe what I said. Yeah. The guy has to go up and make three free throws. So
he's also 82% foul. He still has to make them. But.
Yeah. Which that's not everyone, right. So he still has to go up.
If Harper would have made his second,
yeah.
Which but everybody's Harper made 14 straight free throws. He's due to miss one though.
Yeah.
So I hate to put it on Harper.
No. But I mean, it's all part of it. Yeah, if you're going to talk about what's part of the game, the way it ended, you got to talk about that.
It was decided.
You don't sit there and say he's to blame for it happening, but you still have to talk about.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, he missed a free throw. If he makes that,
I know.
It's a 5-point game, or it's a 3-point game.
Would 3-point
instead of two, and then even if they call the foul, he'll make three to send it to overtime.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if they're going to run the same play in that situation, but obviously with all the other stuff that was going on right before it with the foul on Jerome or the double dribble. I'm interested to see if Bruce Pearl knew there was a double dribble before he went into the locker room.
I don't think he did.
I bet he didn't.
I think a lot of people in that building.
Nobody in the building even saw it.
I'll stand by this. I think at least 80 to 90% of the people at the game had no idea that was a double dribble.
And that number's higher than the people that are watching it on TV for me.
Oh, I agree.
Because when you're there,
you don't have as good a view.
You don't have the angles everywhere around to see it. But
right.
But yeah, did I want the game to end that way? No. But I don't have as big of an issue with the way it ended, I think, as some people do.
Yeah, and I'm not like I didn't lose sleep the way it ended.
Yeah, yeah.
I say this every time I'm watching a close game, and especially in the tournament, where it's a one and done. You've worked so hard all year long. It's not a best out of seven series. You know, you lose a game. Oh, we're down 2-0. Well, we got time to get it back. But in a one-and-done situation like this, I tell my son when I'm watching games with him, my oldest son, every single time it gets close and comes down to the end, I said the same thing with KU Duke at the end of last year's game. I said the same thing every game I watch. I mean, every game I watch, I mean, Big 12 games, I say it when K-State and KU play. I just hope the best team wins. I don't want an official to decide it. Because I still don't like the Svi Mykhailiuk thing, and I don't care if Kansas won or not. I don't like the fact that was all the talk about the game, because to me the game was really good.
Yeah.
But it takes away from the whole game, just like this does, except in this situation it was the right call. But in that KU K-State game, obviously it was a completely missed and blown call. Mm-hmm. But I don't like games ending like that. I want the players to decide it, which people would come back and say, well, see, Wade, there you are. You're contradicting yourself. Let players decide it. So they should have never blown the whistle on that last call. Hey, if a foul is a foul and the replay proves it's a foul, then what are we arguing about? In regards to that,
yeah,
Now, in regards to how you apply the rule, that's a whole different story. But it's just not the way I like to see games end. I'd like it to be clear-cut, easy to know that one team made a play and the other team didn't. I'm talking about the official doesn't reward him with three free throws. And that's what happened. And you're right. To his credit, knocked down all three. When he made the first one, I said he's going to make them all.
I felt like he was going to make them all before he even went to the line, yeah. Just because the way he's kind of been in clutch situations mm-hmm. in the tournament.
And after the timeout, I knew he was going to make it. I don't know why. He said he was terrified. He said it was terrifying. Well, I mean, he didn't look terrified at all.
He's like a duck on a pond, right? he looks good on the surface, but, man, underwater, those feet are going.
Oh, well, you know, I sat there and I thought for a second, what would I have done in that situation? Because I was a really good foul shooter. I'm not trying to brag. I was. I was an 80% foul
shooter. That's why I like seeing kids go to the line and get three free throws, because I know what it is, and I think it's an important part of the game.
But listen, I'm going to tell you something. You got to be strong mentally to be a good foul shooter. You got to block things out. Unless I never played in front of 60,000, 70,000 people on national TV. My team down two to keep the season, my national championship hopes alive. I would be thinking that situation, make the first two, and just that relieves the pressure, which there's so much pressure on the first two. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know technically because I haven't been in that situation, but I would not have made all three.
I don't think I would have either.
I would have gagged at least one and maybe two.
You feel it, even if you feel like you're going to do good.
My legs would have been shaking.
Just pulls short when you let it go. And it's,
I probably would have airballed one.
I don't think I'd miss long.
Yeah.
But I'd pull it short.
I think I would too. I agree with you.
On at least one of them.
I think Jared Harper kind of jerked a little bit. You see that replay in his free throw. It was well off to the left. I think he had a little bit of a hiccup.
Yeah.
One of those yips type of things. Or maybe it just was simply slid off his hand wrong. It's just amazing, the thin line between winning and losing.
Oh, yeah.
And you look at Virginia, I mean, it's so weird. They benefited from two games where teams were fouling on purpose, and that actually helped them win.
Yeah.
And let's think about this again. We talk about the end of the game. Virginia controlled the game. Virginia was up 10.
I saw all these people.
Until Ty Jerome fouled.
Auburn deserved to win that game.
No, they didn't.
Like, did they, though?
No, Virginia was a better
team. Virginia was leading the whole game.
Virginia was a better team, and if Ty Jerome doesn't pick up his fourth with 5 minutes to go, that's when the game completely changed.
Yeah.
And he was out for like 2.5 minutes, and all of a sudden Auburn gets hot, hits a couple of threes. You know, did Auburn deserve to win? Yeah, I agree they do, but honestly, Virginia, to me, was the better team for, you know, 35 of the 40 minutes, but that's not always how it works either, as we know. Mm-hmm. You can be the best team for 39 minutes and 30 seconds and then lose it in the final 30. It doesn't matter. You led the whole game. It's who's leading on the scoreboard at the end of the game. But I thought Virginia was the better team, but they have caught some amazing breaks here, and which makes you wonder, can they continue to catch breaks or will it catch up to them tonight against Texas Tech? Okay, before we talk about Texas Tech, local sports, anything you want to add on that?
Yeah, just go to ncksports.com. We've got results from track and field on Friday. A lot of great performances there at the Concordia Invitational for Beloit and also at the Hoxie Invitational for Osborne, as the Beloit girls and boys both won team championships, and Osborne finished second at Hoxie in both the boys and girls. So, again, all those results posted at ncksports.com, and hopefully later today we'll get some information on the Cloud County All-Star Games and have that posted as well. Again, ncksports.com, always the latest in local sports, and then also golf coming up today at 10:30 this morning, the St. John's Invitational at Beloit Country Club with multiple area teams competing there. Again, everything you need to know is at ncksports.com.
All right, the championship game is set tonight. It is not Auburn. It is Virginia versus Texas Tech. Tech getting their ticket, to the championship with this Michigan State-Texas Tech game. It was 52-51 with under 3 minutes to go. Anybody's ball game, but Tech and Jarrett Culver in particular really stepped up big.
13 to shoot, three in the right corner, not going to go. Rebound, Brandon Francis for Texas Tech. Texas Tech is going to dribble this one out, and the Red Raiders are going to go where no Texas Tech team has gone before. They're going to the national championship game. Texas Tech 61, Michigan State 51.
Vision and belief for everything. Sometimes it comes off as a little bit of arrogance, but you gotta be willing to tell people. I've been telling people my whole life, I think we can win championships and play on the last night of the season.
Well, that's so true. Now, one of the things I've seen on social media, and this happens every year, and I just laugh at it. I think about responding. I'm like, it's just, there's no point. You can't win. When the Big 12 struggles, and I can only speak from the Big 12 perspective, okay? So when the Big 12 conference struggles in the tournament, and there's a whole bunch of ACC, SEC teams still standing, whoever it may be, I hear people that are, proud supporters of the Big 12 wearing their Big 12 colored glasses say, well, that's not a true measurement of what the best league was. It's all about matchups, right? Now some of those same people I saw on social media over the weekend saying, well, the Big 12 wasn't as bad as people thought, huh? What, because Texas Tech made the championship game? That just disproves the theory the Big 12 wasn't that great?
The fact that they're the only team that got out of the round of 32, aren't they?
They conveniently leave that out of their argument, don't they, Dusty? Yeah. It cracks me up. I've seen various people from various organizations within the Big 12. I've seen it from K-State. I've seen Oklahoma State. I've seen Oklahoma. And I've seen it, of course, with Texas Tech, is saying, oh, the Big 12 was down, really? Well, now they're going to play for a championship. No, it's not. No. The ACC and the SEC, I don't care if Texas Tech wins the championship tonight by 30 points. It doesn't mean the Big 12 was a better conference than everybody else. It doesn't mean it was a great conference season. All it means is Texas Tech had the right matchups, they got hot, and they played well, and they deserved to win. And they happened to carry the Big 12 banner. That doesn't mean that the Big 12 was better than we thought. No, the Big 12 was exactly what we thought. It was competitive, but there's not a dominant team. If there was a dominant team, why did Tech tie for the Big 12 title?
Exactly.
Okay? And so...
How did Tech lose to West Virginia
in the Big 12 tournament if they're so dominant? And by the way, if Duke doesn't lose to Michigan State, do we think for sure Tech's going to beat Duke? Because if they don't, I don't think they do either. So then Duke's playing Virginia, it's all ACC battle, and everybody's talking about how great the ACC is. That's how close it is to being the other way, like we talk about. But don't give me this stuff where one year you make excuses for the Big 12. Well, it was all about matchups, and you can't go off of, well, yeah, there's three ACC teams and three SECs and two Big 10s and no Big 12s. But, you know, it's all about matchups. So that doesn't tell you. That's really not a good indicator how good this conference was. And a year later, I see some of the same people putting out there, oh, Texas Tech is in the final. You wait till Tech's in the final to conveniently put that out there. Well, the Big 12 wasn't as bad as we thought it was now, was it? Nope, still was. Not saying it was bad, but it wasn't as good as the ACC or the SEC. This is the way I decide what conference is best in America. And it's kind of a waste of time to talk about it too much, but I'll just say this. The best conference in America is the conference that has the most teams that are viable candidates to win it all. That's how I look at it. What conference has the most championship caliber contenders?
Tell me
before the NCAA tournament, who did you think was a national championship contender out of the Big 12? Who did you think before the tournament started?
I'm not saying anything. I didn't think
you say zero?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't think anybody was a legit.
I would have said Texas. I would have said Texas Tech is marginal to make the Elite Eight, but I didn't have them in my Final Four.
No.
I didn't think K-State was going anywhere.
No.
Especially without Dean
Wade. Dean Wade's out. I didn't.
I knew Kansas wasn't going anywhere. I knew Kansas wasn't going anywhere. So you take those teams out of the equation. I knew Iowa State's too inconsistent. They weren't going very far. So before the tournament began, how many Big 12 teams were national championship contenders? Most people would have said zero or maybe one. Maybe one.
Yeah.
Okay? How many of you would have thought, how many ACC teams before the championship started do you think could win it all? Of course you would have said at least three because they were all one seeds.
Three one seeds from the ACC.
Virginia, Duke, and Carolina. Okay? Okay, how about the SEC? Kentucky was a two, could have been a one. Tennessee was a two, could have been a one. LSU won the SEC. They were a three. And I didn't even bring up Auburn. Nobody would have said Auburn was a national championship contender. They turned out to be one. You know, if anything, you should say the SEC is the best conference because they're a five seed ended up all the way to the national championship semifinals. That the SEC is better than everybody else. But listen, there were three SEC teams were ranked seeded higher than anybody in the Big 12 or equal to. Because the best seed for the Big 12 in the tournament was Texas Tech at a three.
Yeah.
And your other co-champion was a four. And you can argue they could have been a three or a four or whatever. But your highest seeds from your conference were threes and fours. That tells you all you need to know. It wasn't a great year for the Big 12. Because there's been other years the Big 12's had one or even at one and a two seed. Okay, and I'm not saying it's because Kansas was down. The Big 12 wasn't as good.
I think the Big 12 was way better last year.
They were. Well, clearly they were.
Three teams in the Elite Eight. Yeah.
Yeah. And West Virginia was good.
I know that's not always what you measured on, and I don't either. But I mean, you look at what they had and the teams and what were on those teams.
Yeah. And West Virginia was really good, too.
I know K-State was a better team this year than they were last year. But overall, Texas Tech's team last year was better than this year's team. But they didn't get the matchups, and they did the right things this year and played better defense this year than they ever have in their history, probably.
Right.
And that's why they're where they're at.
Yeah, and the point guard was not 100% last year. Keenan Evans was hurt.
Exactly.
That was a big part of it, too. So I agree, the Big 12 was much better last year than this year, but because Tech made it to the national championship game, now we just suddenly say Big 12 is a lot better than we thought? No. Come on now. Let's not go there. I mean, this is the same team that lost to West Virginia in Kansas City.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. So the Texas Tech tonight against Virginia, Tony Bennett talks about making it to the championship game, Virginia head coach.
Everything was pretty intentional about this year and how we're going, and did I know we were going to be in this spot after last year? And, you know, say what a difference a year makes. I didn't, but I knew it was going to be a really important marked year for all of us in our lives, and it's certainly playing out that way.
All right, who wins tonight and why?
Oh, man, I'm leaning toward Virginia because I think they're one of the few teams in this country that can handle what Texas Tech brings defensively. And I think they stay fairly efficient in what they do offensively. They're not a team that's going to score a lot of points. Obviously, this was the lowest over-under they said in like 20 years. I think Virginia can handle it a little bit better than a lot of teams, though, and can handle the pressure that Texas Tech's going to bring out in half court with what they do defensively. Listen, I think it's going to be a real close game, and I think Virginia's going to win it like 58-53 or something like that.
After watching,
watch it be like a 90-90.
No,
90
it won't be.
It won't be.
I was watching after watching both games the other night. I felt like Texas Tech is going to win it all, even though before the Final Four started, I think there's this thing they say destiny. I hate to use that word because I think it's overused, but I think there's something to what Virginia went through last year, and then catching these breaks, which usually catch up to you at some point, or you just ride it all the way to a championship. I mean, you know, you think about the Cinderellas, and Virginia's not a Cinderella, but you think about teams that catch breaks, Cinderellas, like NC State caught all kinds of breaks. Villanova in 85 caught all kinds of breaks. Kansas in 88 caught a whole bunch of breaks. You have to catch breaks, and Virginia's caught a whole bunch of breaks, but maybe this is just their year where they catch all the breaks, and they win tonight on a call by an official or somebody's trying to find a purpose. I was leaning towards picking Texas Tech for this game, and this is going to sound really silly, but the reason I'm going to go with Virginia is because Seth Davis picked Texas Tech. That is the only reason why I'm picking Virginia.
Kiss of death.
Because when Seth Davis changed his mind and went to Tech, I'm like, oh, God, kiss of death right there.
And Texas Tech has these lulls on offense, too. And if you do that against Virginia, they play very, very good defense, too. And they're going to make that look even worse. And even on Saturday, man, they had some possessions where they just took some terrible shots.
They did.
And you can't, I mean, if you didn't have a cushion already before you did that, you can't do that in a game like this against Virginia because there's not enough possessions to do that.
I agree.
That's why I'm picking Virginia.
It applies to both teams.
They will hit one of those offensive real, you know, a long period of an offensive lull that they're just going to take some bad shots. And if Culver can step up and be a little bit better than he was on Saturday, then I think that changes everything.
I think Culver's got to be, he's got to do a lot more than 8 points tonight. You can't count on Mooney to do 22 again.
No.
Tonight. I don't know. I just don't think Tech has as much offensive firepower as Virginia does. And I think one thing that's great about both these teams, though, they can win at either pace. I mean, they can win in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. They can even win in the 70s if things go right. And that's why I'm having a hard time really honestly analyzing the game because I do feel like Texas Tech is so good defensively. Mm-hmm. But Virginia's really good, too, and they do have a few more shooters, I think better shooters from the outside. Now, if Kyle Guy goes back to the way he was shooting the first two, three games of the tournament, Virginia's in trouble, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But Ty Jerome's been playing well. DeAndre Hunter, I think, is an X factor. It'll be interesting to see the matchups. You know, Culver, everybody's talking about Culver having a bad game. Defensively, he was fantastic. I mean, he slowed down Winston. That was a great move by Chris Beard, who's certainly one of the up-and-coming coaches, if not already there. And I mean, he's already there if he wins a championship tonight. But it's going to be an interesting game. I just hope it's not in the 40s. And I hope it's not low 50s. And I know some people like a lot of defense and some people don't. For me, I get it in the 60s and make it an entertaining, decent game. And I'll say it once again, please don't let it be a controversial ending. Mm-hmm. Just let it be nice and clear cut. Somebody makes a great shot or whatever the case may be. But I think it's going to be a fantastic game. And one little tiny roll of the basketball or you could say a bad call or a missed free throw or some guy turning his ankle or fouling out could determine this one, no question. Now, the Big 12 trying for the sweep. The women, Baylor women, winning national championship, had a 17-point lead in the second half and nearly blew it.
But to get the, in fact, it was tied 80 all, get a game-winning bucket with about 5 seconds to go, and then they hold on thanks to a missed free throw.
Denied by Turner, and that's it. The Baylor Lady Bears, 7 years later, are back at the top of college basketball with their third national championship.
So, yeah, that's cool. Raised the banner for the Big 12. Baylor was one of, if not the best team all year long. And Notre Dame, you know, that close to repeating as a national champion. And then there's a person that you want at the foul line, and she misses a free throw.
Yeah.
We're all human.
She was like money last year.
Yeah, she
both
was.
Both games, winning the Final Four game and winning the championship with just ridiculous shots last year. But this year, I mean, she still played great. But, man, it's tough to see it end like that, too, you know, to see where you had a chance to tie it, and then you missed a free. That's exactly who you wanted there.
That goes back to what I was saying. I want to see players make plays to win the game. Like, the one game that pops in my head immediately is now North Carolina and Villanova a few years ago. Paige hits the tough, off-balance three, double clutch, and then Villanova comes down and hits a three to win the game. To me, everybody goes out a winner from the standpoint that there was nobody made a boneheaded play or missed a free throw, missed the layup. You know what I'm saying? Whereas, obviously, you can say, well, Harper missed a free throw for Auburn or the guy. I feel bad for the guy that fouled Kyle Guy. He's got to feel awful about that. And then you see Guy, in this case, the young lady for Notre Dame missing a free throw. I want to see somebody go up and make the free throws, but not a missed free throw cost the game just right before it. You know what I'm saying? Because I really feel for those people, because I can't imagine. I make mistakes in life, and I dwell on them more than I should. I can't imagine what would happen if I'm in that situation. And how about the New Mexico State guy? In the first round of the tournament, it's Auburn. It's kind of ironic how Auburn's season ended because they fouled a three-point shooter, and all he's got to do is make two out of three. They go to overtime. He makes one out of three. And now that kid still today, I bet he wakes up going, God, what if I would have made two or all three? And he probably can go in his driveway or go in the gym and make 100 in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important moment in his life in regards to his career, I don't want to say his life, but in his career as a basketball player, he missed two out of three. He's got to live with that for the rest of his life. And I just would not want to have that. You know, I just don't want those kids to have to go through that. But I mean, that is part of it. And life is full of adversity. And if that's the worst thing to happen in their life, then they're probably going to have really great lives. But I just hate to see somebody do. I still feel bad that Chris Webber called the timeout.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a big Chris Webber fan, but I feel horrible still for Freddie Brown for throwing that ball to James Worthy in the national championship in 82, I think it was, Georgetown, North Carolina. I was six at the time. I actually vaguely remember that. And then, of course, I've seen all the replays. Every time I see that highlight, I feel for Bill Buckner to this day. I feel so awful for Bill Buckner. He should have never been in the game at first base for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
He normally was replaced in the game, but the manager said, hey, he helped get us here. It'd be really cool if he's on the field when we celebrate. And the manager let his emotions get in front of his head, and he did that, and the ball went right through his legs.
It'd be really cool if we could let Matt Harvey finish this game out, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I feel for Matt Harvey as well. You know, I feel for Terry Collins a little bit, too. He made the wrong move, but he was going with his guy, and he supported his guy. I do. Even if it's teams I don't like, per se, I feel for guys that, you know, especially like a free throw. I mean, you practice that your whole life. There's no defense to stop you. It's one thing when the clock's winding down, and you got to shoot an off-balance three, and it's blocked, okay? But it's a free throw, you know, or an uncontested layup or something crazy like that. At any level, I feel bad for Scott Norwood to this day.
Yeah,
he was a good kicker. Everybody remembers his miss. That was a 48-yard field goal he missed by a foot. It's not like he choked it. That was not a choke. And I still to this day feel horrible for him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't feel that bad for Lynn Elliott. He missed three. I mean, I'm sorry. I just cannot. I can give him one. But three? Yeah, I'm sorry. There's a point where things stop with me in that regard. All right, speaking of stopping, the Royals winning has stopped. They have lost six in a row, started year 2-0. Any quick ways to get the team on the right track here, other than blowing up the bullpen?
I don't have it.
No, like, I don't either. I don't think there's any answers.
Yeah, not right now. Like, the only thing you can hope is if you're, what Ned was saying, you get into consistency and stop having days off. But what's consistency mean to a terrible bullpen?
Right now they are consistent.
Yeah, like, it means they just consistently stay bad. Hey, credit the bullpen. They didn't give up any runs yesterday, but
Well, credit the bullpen. They have been consistent.
Yes.
Consistently bad. It will get better, but to what extent, I don't know. The problem is the answer's got to come from within, because the Royals aren't going to go make some big trade.
No,
and there's nobody in the minors that's going to come up that's going to be lights out, I don't think. I mean, a lot of talk about Richard Lovelady, which I love the name. Richard Lovelady is a guy that's going to come up. So that strikes fear into the heart of a hitter, doesn't it? Hey, Lovelady is going to come in and pitch to you. But he has done all right in the minors. Maybe he's an answer. But I just, you know, Danny Duffy coming back, extended spring training to work on his arm. If they decide, hey, we're not going to have him be a starter, we're going to pay him $13 million, $14 million a year to be a reliever, maybe that's what they'll do, and that'll help the bullpen. I don't know. Maybe that's something that helped the bullpen as Duffy comes back and he's a dominant guy in the bullpen. But right now the answers, they really are within. These guys just got to pitch better. Simple as that. They just got to pitch better. And if they don't, it's going to keep going the way it is. But you're right. Consistency would help instead of an off day all the time. Royals and the Mariners tonight at Kauffman Stadium.